KMUW's pledge drive is underway, and since the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and other funding sources have gone away, KMUW is counting on you more than ever. Those drops in revenue are not one-hit wonders. They continue to impact our work, and in Wichita, so far, listeners have taken this seriously and made up for the losses. We hope we can depend on you to stick with us and keep this dependable information coming so that we can keep the misinformation and disinformation at bay where possible. It's an uphill battle, but one we're ready for if you can help at KMUW.org.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, March 25th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Many people in rural Kansas towns will tell you keeping their grocery store is as important to them as their school or hospital. But some newer solutions have not completely solved the problem of disappearing grocery stores. Plains, Kansas is set to lose its grocery store this month.
You're still going to be operating on razor-thin margins, but creative ownership models, they redistribute the burden.
We'll hear about what options are left for small towns trying to keep their grocery stores after the news. Wichita Airport officials say they're not seeing security delays from the partial government shutdown. About 50,000 TSA agents nationwide have been working without pay since mid-February. Travelers across the country face long lines as agents call in sick or quit. Local officials say Wichita Eisenhower National Airport is not seeing longer lines at security. Rachel Mayberry is with the Wichita Airport. Mayberry says flight networks are connected, and what happens in larger cities could still affect Wichita travelers.
Well, right now we're not seeing the issues. If passengers are flying from Wichita to somewhere else, we encourage them to check the airport they'll be flying back, because it may be different than what we're experiencing.
The partial shutdown comes as lawmakers dispute funding for the Department of Homeland Security. This marks the second longest government shutdown in history. A Wichita man is in the Sedgwick County Jail following allegations he threatened Mayor Lily Wu. A city spokesperson directed all questions about the case to the Wichita Police Department. Police arrested the 50-year-old man Monday afternoon in South Wichita. He was booked into the jail Monday evening in connection with one count of criminal threat. A Douglas County judge has set a September hearing to consider a legal challenge to a law targeting transgender people's bathroom use and IDs, Beck Shackelford Wonganga of the Kansas News Service reports.
Judge James McCabria denied a request to block the law earlier this month, but scheduled a hearing for September 29th to consider that again. The legal challenge from the American Civil Liberties Union says the law violates rights in the Kansas Constitution. It requires transgender people to use bathrooms that match their sex assigned at birth in state-owned buildings. It also prohibits them from changing gender markers on state documents. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford Wonganga.
The U.S. Supreme Court will soon consider a case related to the popular weed killer Roundup. The outcome could affect thousands of lawsuits that have been filed against the chemical's parent company, Harvest Public Media's Michael Marks reports.
Some plaintiffs claim that Monsanto, now owned by Bayer, did not adequately warn Roundup users that their product could cause cancer. John Durnell of St. Louis won a judgment against Bayer in 2023, but the company appealed the verdict and the Supreme Court will hear the case on April 27th. Aaron Wood, a lawyer in Dallas, says a ruling for Bayer would not extinguish all claims against the company.
If Monsanto prevails, there would be remaining claims of those Roundup plaintiffs. Those would include liability, defective manufacturing claims, negligence claims.
The Department of Justice, the state of Nebraska, and several farm business groups have filed briefs in support of Bayer. I'm Michael Marks, Harvest Public Media.
Small-scale farmers face an unforgiving environment in 2026 to make a living off the land. The cost of doing business continues to rise, with the price of seeds and machinery increasing, while prices of crops, including wheat and corn, are decreasing. Lydia Nebel is the farm director at the KC Farm School. Nebel spoke at the Wealth Day Environmental Advocacy Rally at the Kansas State House about the current pressures farmers are facing.
They're having to work more and more and more and more for less and less and less and less. And the only people that are making the profit, again, don't even know that those farms exist.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Household Well-Being Report, released earlier this year, found many small farms are not profitable, even in the best income years. A Wichita letter carrier will be honored at a national ceremony today for her quick thinking and bravery. Tiffany McCarty was delivering mail in Wichita last year when she was approached by a young woman fleeing from an armed assailant. McCarty helped the woman take cover in her vehicle and helped keep her safe until emergency responders arrived. McCarty's actions earned her a Hero of the Year award from the National Association of Letter Carriers. She will be honored at a ceremony today in Washington, D.C. Wichita State University is continuing interviews for the next vice president for student affairs. The Division of Student Affairs plans to interview four candidates for the position. The second candidate, Jamarco Clark, will be on campus today and tomorrow. Clark is the vice chancellor for student affairs at the University of Illinois Springfield. Students and other campus stakeholders are invited to attend a public forum with Clark at 3:30 this afternoon. The forum will be in the Harvest Room at the Radigan Student Center. Wichitans will have a chance to bid farewell to a school building that served a number of different functions in its history. The building in northeast Wichita was most recently the Chester Lewis Academic Learning Center, which housed the district's alternative school program. It was previously home to Mathewson Junior High School and later Northeast High. Wichita Public Schools recently closed the building after the district discovered unsafe conditions there. People are invited to a final event to commemorate the building on North Chautauqua. The event runs from 11:30 to 1:30 tomorrow. We'll be back after this.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Rural communities across Kansas are losing their grocery stores, and small towns are coming up with new ways to revive them. But some of those solutions have not panned out. Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports on different options that are being examined in western Kansas.
Residents in Plains, Kansas, live a rural life in the southwest corner of the state. Businesses downtown have boot scrapers posted outside. People stop into the Grand Avenue Market, the community-owned grocery store, for their groceries and daily essentials. Kara Kane, the store manager, helps a customer with their bags, but not for much longer. The town's only grocery store is closing in just a couple weeks.
The economy right now is just not great, especially for small businesses, and unfortunately, there was just no other options right now.
It's a common sight across small towns in Kansas. More than 30% of Kansas counties are struggling to keep their grocery stores open and stocked, creating so-called food deserts. Plains just a few years ago was an example of a solution. Community members opted for an alternative business model, a nonprofit run by a board of directors that could pour all of the revenue back into the grocery store, a popular idea for rural towns that was decades in the making. Rosalia Sanchez is a frequent shopper there. She says she now will have to go anywhere from 15 miles to 60 miles to get groceries for her family.
I'd have to try to get everything I can in one haul and hope that I won't run out until the next haul.
Prices are up for rural grocers and margins are thin. Transportation costs are higher and finding enough staff is not easy. Communities across Kansas are attempting new ways to fill in those gaps. Focusing on community health and needs rather than profit are some ways small towns have kept their aging residents fed. Ryle Carver, project manager for the Rural Grocery Initiative, says the Plain store did not work out long term, but the nonprofit grocery model can still work.
You're still going to be operating on razor-thin margins, but creative ownership models, they redistribute the burden.
Communities in rural towns have followed similar ideas and become pretty creative, adopting cooperative grocery stores as another model. Deborah Soley works for the Center for Rural Affairs in Nebraska and says there's a good reason to pursue these models.
They're invested and they're more likely to purchase from that grocery store in the future because they see the benefits.
Soley says she has seen other ideas take off in the Midwest, like schools partnering and running local grocery stores or membership models that run similar to a gym. But it's still a tough business, as the Plains example shows. Lane County Community Foundation Executive Director Casey Venters will tell you it's not a small task. I met him at a construction site where they're building a new store in his hometown, Dighton. The store is set to be the only one in the entire county.
But in terms of kind of where we're at, the risk involved, inflationary costs, this is by far the biggest economic development project that's happened in this county.
The foundation adopted a custom business model to revive their grocery store, combining nonprofit and for-profit ideas. Donations helped to fund the store, and profits will go to community projects. The store kept building costs low by acquiring shelving and refrigeration supplies from a local dollar store liquidation sale. Venter says he is not concerned about other stores closing in similar towns.
We have spent countless hours and weeks and months studying the math. Business comes down to math. If the math doesn't work and it's too risky, shouldn't do the project.
Venters hopes the model they're using can be another non-traditional solution that communities could copy to open badly needed grocery stores. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
The Kansas News Service is a collaboration of KMUW, KCUR, Kansas Public Radio, and High Plains Public Radio. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.